In verse 13, it says, "When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her." He had compassion on her. One of the things we can't help but notice as we read through the gospel narratives in particular is that when Jesus walked this earth, there were numerous occasions where he showed his compassion to others. Whether it was large groups of people, he had compassion on large groups of people, but he also had compassion on individuals as well. We read, for instance, in one of the Gospels, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Why? Because on one occasion they were hungry. On another occasion he looked out at the multitudes and he had compassion on them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. He had compassion on the multitudes. But he also had compassion on individuals. We read of two blind men in one of the Gospels who cry out to Jesus to heal them of their blindness. And what do we read? That Jesus had compassion on them and he healed them. Or the man with leprosy. The Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion and healed him. You know, there are other examples of Jesus showing compassion through the gospel narratives. And soon enough in Luke, we're going to be reading about the parable of the father who goes out in compassion to greet that prodigal son who so wasted the things that he had given to him. And what we're being told over and over and over again is that God and Jesus, the Son, is compassionate. In fact, compassion is the emotion most frequently attributed to Jesus. And one of the things that becomes clear about Jesus' compassion is that it is altogether different to any compassion that anyone has ever experienced before. It is clear that his compassion is an unparalleled compassion. It is a unique compassion. When the authors of the gospel attempted to grapple with the nature of his compassion, they had to invent a new word to come up and try to define what Jesus' compassion is. They had to create a new Greek word. There was no word like this in Greek literature. And the unique word that they used is one that describes Jesus as being moved at his very core with a great pity for the people that he came in contact with. In fact, it actually speaks of being moved in the bowels, of yearning in the bowels. And the reason why they did that is because back then, the bowels were seen as the seat of love and pity. And what the gospel writers were trying to do as they grappled with the unparalleled compassion of Jesus was to say, it's almost like that. It is as if his very core of his being is wrenching as he looks out on those in need, and his compassion is like that. No one else can be described as having compassion like that, can they? You know, you and I have probably met compassionate people, but they are dim reflections of Jesus' compassion because the depth and the strength of his compassion is unique. His compassion is unparalleled. And we see his compassion in this passage. Because in this passage, we are immediately plunged into an extremely sad set of circumstances, are we not? But it's into that extremely sad set of circumstances that Jesus and his compassion shines forth. Let us remind ourselves of what is going on in this passage. Well, immediately we are plunged into the funeral of a young man. Now, funerals are always sad occasions, or they should be. There's a trend nowadays to make them happy occasions, but they should be sad occasions. And they're particularly sad when young people have died. I wonder if you've been to a funeral of a young person. And the man who had died here was a young man. We know that he was young because Jesus refers to him as a young man in verse 14. And he could have been very young, because we read later on that when Jesus has raised him from the dead, he presents him to his mother. And all this made the funeral all the more tragic. And it was even more tragic for the lady, because I'm sure you noticed that she had lost her husband as well. She was a widow, it says in verse 12. So this lady had lost her husband as well as losing her young son. We're not told when she lost her husband, but those of us who have lost our spouses know that a permanent mark is left. It could be many years later and you're still grieving in one way or another the loss of your spouse. And so here we have this lady. Her husband has died, and now her young son has died. And notice how it was her only son. We are told in verse 12 that the son was the only son of his mother. So here is this lady at the funeral, perhaps still raw from losing her husband. And now her son, her young son, her only son, has been taken away from her. And so, if she's like anyone else, and she is, a range of thoughts and emotions were surely going through her mind at this time. Why has this happened to me? Why now? Why this double grief? I've just lost my husband. Why have I lost my son, my only son? Why am I burying him? It should be the other way around. He should be burying me. Who's going to protect me now that both my son and my husband have gone? Now, these are the kind of thoughts that would have been going through this lady's mind, no doubt. And she would have been heartbroken at it, absolutely crushed by these things. And the Bible tells us this because the Bible tells us that she was weeping in verse 12. Weeping. And when we read that word weeping there, it doesn't mean to be crying silently. Sometimes we're able to hold it in, aren't we? And to, especially in the midst of others, put on a brave face. But there's a different Greek word for that kind of silent crying, and it's not used here. No, she is wailing aloud at what has happened to her. Such is her sadness, what has happened, that she's in floods of tears and wailing aloud. She doesn't care about the crowd. Such is her sadness, is that she is wailing without restraint. Can you picture that in your mind's eye? This terribly sad set of circumstances. And it's into that circumstances that Jesus enters. Listen to how the Lord reacts. Verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. He had compassion on her. When Jesus saw her, he had that compassion on her. The compassion that I have just described, of the yearning in the bowels, the very core of his being wrenching at what he was witnessing. And notice when this compassion was swelling up within him. It's when he saw the lady. When he saw her, verse 13, he had compassion on her. And that's important for us to meditate on, because it's not a case that Jesus simply looked at her. There's a different kind of seeing that was going on here. The word for see here means to perceive, to take heed. In other words, Jesus was observing what was going on. He was discerning what was going on. It was that kind of seeing that Jesus was doing. It's like when we go to the doctor and he looks at the patient. But he doesn't just look at the patient, does he? They observe. They ask questions. They try to discern what's really going on behind the scenes or within us. And it's that kind of seeing that Jesus is doing. He was observing what was going on, discerning what exactly was going on. And it's after that evaluation of these things that then he had compassion on her. And one thing I wonder if you noticed that the Lord Jesus didn't have to be asked to show compassion. Did you notice that? It was Jesus who acted first. The lady didn't come running to Jesus and said, "Have compassion on me." She didn't even ask Jesus to have compassion on her. No, Jesus initiated the compassion. It was Jesus who was compassionate towards her before anything had been said. And this is because Jesus has an inclination to show compassion at so sad a circumstance. That's his natural tendency. In other words, Jesus doesn't have to be persuaded to show compassion. He shows it because that is his natural inclination. You know, Jesus is full of compassion. Do you believe that? That's his natural inclination. It is the emotion most attributed to him in the Gospels. And this explains why there was no delay in showing his compassion. Jesus didn't wait to show compassion to this lady, did he? There was no delay. We read in verse 11 that when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. I know you can say, well, that was internal. But as we go to see that he acts on it. Such was the inclination to show compassion that he immediately showed compassion towards that lady. And I think it's more than interesting that Luke notes that this account took place the day after Jesus had healed the centurion's servant. If you look at the beginning of chapter 7, you might be familiar with that account where Jesus heals the centurion's servant. And then it says in verse 11, now it happened the day after. What I believe Luke is doing is showing the frequency of Jesus' compassion. If you need any more evidence for that, we read in verse 21 of the same chapter that Jesus at that very hour cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. What Luke is doing, I believe, is teaching us the frequency of Jesus' compassion. We can say, in other words, that there's no hesitation for Jesus to show compassion. There's a regularity to it. And notice how tailored his compassion is. It says, as we return to the text, that Jesus had compassion on the lady, on her. Verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." There was a large crowd at the funeral. Many people would have been touched by the death of this young man. We sang a hymn a few weeks ago at the baptism of Timothy. It was written by Timothy McCormick. He died, I think, before the age of 30. There were hundreds of people at his funeral. Many people were affected by it. But at that funeral, his parents would have been the most affected. His immediate family would have been the most emotional, rightly so. And it's to that lady that Jesus shows his compassion. His compassion was tailored to her and to her circumstances. And notice what Jesus did in his compassion. Jesus did not simply hold an internal sense of pity for this lady, wrenching within him, and then walk on. that's a sad thing that I've just witnessed, but I've other things to do. No, he showed his compassion. He acted out of the internal pity that he had for the lady and actually did something significant for the lady. It wasn't a case that he simply sympathised with the lady. He did sympathise with her, and that was a compassionate thing to do. But the Lord Jesus also did something extremely significant for this lady. I don't know if you've read this for the first time, but there's a danger that we become familiar with this. But Jesus actually raised this dead young man back to life and presented him to the lady who was grieving uncontrollably. Look at what we read in verse 13. Jesus said to her, "Do not weep." And then he came, touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So look how it's put. He who was dead sat up and began to speak. Jesus did the very thing that she wanted. He met her exact need. She wanted her son to be returned to her. She knew that in the ordinary events, the natural order of things, that this was not possible. But Jesus, in his compassion, did that very thing that she knew wasn't possible in ordinary circumstances, but did anyway. He brought her son back to life. And there's this wonderful touch, isn't there? He presented him to his mother. He gave her son back to her. That's such a lovely thing to do, isn't it? Jesus, in his compassion, presenting or giving back the dead son, now alive, to the mother. And so in this account, we are shown the unparalleled compassion of Jesus. A very busy ministry. Jesus stops here. You could say he went out of his way, like he did with the woman at the well, to show compassion on this lady. His heart wrenched for her. The very core of his being yearned for her in her circumstances. And he met her need in a stunning way. As we move to further application, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is still compassionate. I say that because there could be a temptation to think that now that Jesus has been raised up into heaven, that somehow he is too far removed from his people. Somehow he is less compassionate now that he has ascended into heaven. But this is certainly not the case. Jesus is still compassionate towards his people. He still has a great affection for his people. He is their great high priest in heaven. We read this in Hebrews chapter 4, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." He goes on to say, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus is not less compassionate now that he has gone to heaven. He is still compassionate. In fact, another occasion, there's not time to do it this morning, we could see that how he is more compassionate than he ever was. That is a deep subject. And perhaps another occasion we'll look at that. But We need to know that our great high priest is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He really is. When the Bible says that Jesus is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, it's not some kind of poetic device. It's not metaphorical. Jesus does actually sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows our weaknesses because he himself was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, of course. But Jesus, in his life, endured trials and tribulations when he lived on this earth. Jesus, above all men, was certainly not immune to difficulties and discouragements and distresses. He is called the man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. And so because of this, Jesus truly is able to sympathize with his people. It's not a metaphorical device, a metaphorical statement or a literary device that the writer to the Hebrews is writing. It's that Jesus truly is able to sympathize with his people. And in sympathizing with his people, Jesus is not simply relying on the memory of what it used to be like when he was in the flesh, when he lived on earth as a man. Because Jesus continues to be both fully God and fully man in heaven. It is not the case that Jesus is no longer a man now that he has ascended into heaven. And someone has to rely on what it was, of the memory of what it was like to be a man. No, he is still both fully God and fully man in heaven. We sing this wonderful hymn, don't we? A man there is, a real man, who once on Calvary died. His blood for guilty sinners ran from hands and feet and side. Goes on to say, that human heart he still retains, though throned in highest bliss, and feels each tempted member's pains, for our affliction his. That is extremely significant for us to comprehend, because Jesus has been enabled to be a merciful high priest, because he has been made like his brethren. In other words, he has taken on flesh and blood, as it says in Hebrews chapter 2. And because of that, he is enabled to be a merciful and faithful high priest, because he still is a man. So Jesus retains that ability to sympathize with his people, even though he is in heaven. And so when we pray to God, we have to have this in mind. We need to know that we have a compassionate high priest in heaven who knows what it's like to live with all the trials and tribulations of this life, to know the distresses of this life, a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. We need to know that Jesus still sees the needs of his people, just as he saw the need of this lady. The psalmist says in Psalm 34, his eye is always upon his people, and his ear is open to his cry. Jesus still sees. He still discerns. He still knows what his people are going through. He knows them intimately. Psalm 139, read that later, of how he is fully acquainted with our rising up and our coming down. Jesus sees, but not just looks. He sees and discerns our circumstances, and he knows. Jesus still responds in compassion, just as he responded to that lady. He still pities his people. It is not the case that Jesus retains a compassion for us from afar, but does not act in compassion. No, Jesus still acts in compassion. And I'm sure each one of us could testify to that. How he is so compassionate to us in our unique circumstances. And I want to tell you this, that no care is beyond the reach of his compassionate care. Think of all the ways in which Jesus responded in compassion when he was on earth. Multitudes, individuals, multitudes with varying needs, individuals with varying needs, and he met them all. And he specifically met them, tailored to their needs. And Jesus, now in heaven, is not so far removed from us that he cannot meet our individual needs. Now, we might be tempted to think at times that he is not concerned with us, or that somehow he has forgotten us. Do you remember when Jesus was approached by his disciples in the boat? And what did they say to him as the storm was raging? Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care that we are perishing? What a thing to say to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you not care? Of course Jesus cared. Cared in a way that was not possible in any other man. But the same kind of complaint was raised by Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus died. What did they say to Jesus? If you had been here, my brother would not have died. How did Jesus react later on in that passage? We read that he wept. He wept. Jesus is described as loving them and weeping for them. And so, when we think that Jesus has somehow forgotten about us or does not care about our circumstances, we need to come back to this. That Jesus cares in a way that is unbelievably different, unparalleled. And that in the case of John 11 and on the boat, there was a reason for the delay in showing or demonstrating his care for them. And this is true of all God's people. Listen to what it says listen to what God says to his people in another context, in Isaiah 49. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. We must not doubt that God cares for us, or that he has somehow forgotten our cause. He says, I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. So as I close, I want us to acknowledge something. And it is this. That we simply cannot fathom the compassion that Jesus has for his people. We cannot plumb the depths of his compassion. It is truly incomprehensible. The gospel writers had to invent a new word to try to define what his compassion is. Jesus is moved with a pity at the very core of his being. He has an affection for them that is incomprehensible. Jesus is full of compassion. His compassions fail not. And when we think about the ultimate compassion that was shown from God through the Son, and him going to the cross and dying for sinners, we need to think on these things and think on these things regularly. That Jesus, the emotion most attributed to him was compassion. You know, sometimes you do these tests. I'm going to say one word, and you say an answer very quickly. If I said Jesus, what would you say immediately? I wonder if it should be compassion. Well, maybe think about these things in the days to come and come to realize the depth and length and breadth of the love of Christ.